sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. We are going to pull topics out of our hats, grab items from the news, and take questions submitted by you, the listener. So we invite you to join us. Why? Because sex matters, period.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-vagina.
Okay, yeah, you sing it in. You bring us in. That would be great.
All right, let's talk about vaginas.
I love talking about vulvas, vaginas, all of that kind of stuff. It's an amazing part of our body. And it's also one of the biggest hang-ups that women have around their personal sexual experience, because they're often worried about it. Does it look okay? Does it smell okay? Does it taste okay? And so today we're actually going to talk about what a vagina tastes like. So this is something that I often say to my clients, female clients who come to me, or couples that come to me where there's some sort of discussion around oral sex. And I often encourage women to stick a couple fingers down there and taste themselves, because it's really not fair for you to expect somebody else to go down on you if you're not comfortable with how you taste. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just my opinion. And it's not gross when a man goes down on you and then wants to come up and kiss you. And this is a big thing in couples. I get this a lot, that women think it's disgusting for a man to eat them out and then to want to kiss them. Mm-hmm. But it's coming from their own body, and it drives men crazy. Men love to do that kind of stuff. So I just want to kind of talk about some of the myths around what can make your vagina taste a certain way, or the juices that are expelled from your body, what makes them taste a certain way, what certain tastes might mean. Is there anything you can do to change the taste of your private juices, your luscious labia stuff?
I was looking for another L word.
Liquid.
Luscious labia.
Luscious labia liquids. Yes, the LLL. Yeah. So the short answer is that a vagina smells like a vagina. A healthy vulva smells like a vagina. I mean, I try and encourage people not to wear underwear. I call it the no panty revolution. Go without underwear for a week. Just enjoy the smell, enjoy the aroma and stuff that comes from your privates, and the way that it is, it's intoxicating. It has effects on the people that are around you, not in a bad way, because hopefully you're being clean and hygienic, but it doesn't stifle. There's an aroma, there's there's pheromones, there's all kinds of stuff that are released down in that luscious labia liquids that are good. It's all good, and it can help you heighten your sensual and sexual awareness.
Isn't it the joy of sex that talks about the fact that, you know, we are so obsessed with cleanliness in our culture that we have gotten to the point that any odor at all is just negative?
Pungent. It's considered pungent. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's so wrong. It's so wrong, because our bodies produce these things for a reason, right? There can be times where this is the one time I'm going to mention the male anatomy in this conversation. Males' sexual organs are to the outside of their body. It's different than a woman's, whose majority of them are on the inside of their body and is meticulously maintained by their pH, by their diet, by all the different things that are going on in your body through your menstrual cycle. There's all different things that are happening in your body that can affect your taste and smell down there. But it's all normal. It's natural. you should not be douching yourself and messing up your pH all the time. You should not be neti potting your vagina. You should not be doing this. It's because there's a particular pH that needs to be maintained in there for you to not have vaginal bacteriosis.
And I've heard of women learning that the hard way, where they really, you know, the Summer's Eve commercials were their thing, and they did that and did that and did that to the detriment of their own body.
Right. Right. As long as you're not experiencing really strong scents of fishy odors or whiffs of like something dead down there, like something really foul, your smell and taste are fine. Whatever they are a part of you. They are perfect to you. This is my word of the day. Perfect. You are perfect. So your vagina will not taste like your neighbor's vagina. And I don't suggest people lining up and having a taste off like they do chili cook-offs and stuff, but
if you're into that in the appropriate atmosphere.
Right. That's funny. But if you ask a man who really likes oral sex and goes down on a lot of women, and it's something that he really gets off on or whatever, he'll tell you that no two women taste the same. Everybody is different.
Right.
So we can talk about some of the things that may kind of come up during this, you know, like if you ask your partner, what does it taste like? Or you taste yourself, sometimes there can be some different flavors that pop up, some different like some people say a metallic flavor, like a penny, you know, like coppery. Mm-hmm. And that means that, you know, you're acidic, and that's natural. That's the way it's supposed to be, is that you have a certain pH. And so the balance of the bacteria and all of that stuff that's going on down there, it's natural acidity, and it translates to some flavor that seems stronger than neutral. Okay. So like a battery taste, if it's really strong, a strong metallic taste can be more common after the days of menstruation, where there might be trace amounts of blood still in and around the vagina. And that blood has that metallic tinge to it because of the iron that's in it. So that makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, it's one of the other things that you can taste a little salty or maybe sour a little bit. And that usually comes from exercise or perspiration.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, so you get a hint of salt. Not cleaning yourself well after urinating can sometimes leave a trace amount of urine behind, which can taste salty or bitter. The sour taste of excess sweat isn't unusual, because it's a hot section of your body. You are a hot, sexy woman, and you've got a wildly hot vagina down there. I mean, it's doing its thing. There's friction, there's stuff happening, and it's normal. It's so normal to have that. And so the natural idea of, you know, freshening up before you have sex, that's wonderful. You know, you can go in and freshen up quickly, or, you know, with some soap or whatever, or just a warm washcloth is great. But if a man's going to go down on you, he expects to taste your pussy. It's going to taste a certain way, and that's what he's going to expect.
And not the perfumey.
Not supposed to taste like a flower, and it's not going to taste like a fruit. Okay.
Well, and even if you were to use those things,
right?
It's not going to. They don't taste like that. Perfume smells a particular way, but if you drank it, it's not. It doesn't taste the way it smells. It's nasty.
Right.
So think about that if somebody else is going to be in that space. Maybe their nose is experiencing one way, but their tongue is going to experience it a very different way.
Right, right. So, like, again, the natural smell and taste of your pussy, your vagina, your vulva is as close to neutral as your body can get without hints of sweat or body odor. Okay. So, you know, if you've been working out or something like that, there's added fluid down there. There's added ingredients being mixed in. That's basically, you know, but your vulva is locked away under layers and layers of clothing. Mm-hmm. And it can get damp in there. And that can develop a stale smell or taste. So again, no panties is a wonderful thing because it allows more airflow in there. It doesn't mean anything's wrong, is wrong. It's just that it's doing its job. You know, if something tastes off, it's most likely because your pH is off. So again, the salty, bitter, metallic, or sour tastes, they are not wrong. It's not bad. If it's funky, if the taste is funky, if it's not salty, bitter, metallic, or sour, but it's funky, that means that your pH is probably off and you might have a little bit of an infection or something.
And that's worth checking out,
going right to the doctor, whatever. Absolutely. Because you don't want to having sex while you're inflamed or irritated, or if you actually do have an infection that causes unusual smells, can be uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. But some foods do have an impact on how your vagina tastes, but it's a short list. And pineapple is not one of them. Okay. I've really, really studied this stuff. I eat a lot of pineapple, and I'm told my juices are very sweet. And I always thought it's because I ate pineapple. Mm-hmm. You know, I really strawberries and pineapple and blueberries, you know, I eat a lot of those in my diet. But it doesn't. Pineapple really isn't the thing. However, asparagus, yes, impacts things, makes it taste grassy or green. These are the adjectives that are kind of used to describe the taste of asparagus, grassy or green. Curry or heavily spiced foods. Foods that produce sweat with a distinct smell. So if you've ever been with somebody who eats like a lot of, I'm trying to think back to the last person that I could sense the smell of, you know, when somebody comes at you and they smell like a food. Mm-hmm. That you know that they've just eaten that, or they eat a lot of it, that it's actually coming out of their pores, like garlic.
I was going to say garlic. I knew a guy, who, if he ate garlic at lunch, he worked from home in the afternoon. It was so strong. I never experienced this. Other people had, and he was a coworker, never. Like, didn't know his wife to ask her. So, you know, how does that affect your sexual experience? Yeah. But I'm curious with that is just like, yeah, because if it's coming through something that his body is releasing in sweat so much that other people can't be around him. But for females, yeah, same thing.
But here's the thing, though. It's not actually affecting the taste of your luscious labia liquids. It's actually changing the smell of your sweat, and you produce sweat, and therefore that's the added ingredient.
Right, right.
That is changing the aroma and the taste.
Sure, okay? That makes perfect sense.
Another thing that can affect it is alcohol. Alcohol intake. Not only can alcohol intake, one, change the taste of you, but two, it can dehydrate you. So me personally, I'm a squirter. So if I drink wine the night before, I don't squirt the next day. Mm-hmm. It sucks up, it dehydrates me.
Right, right.
And it's pulling the liquid from all of my reservoirs, wherever that squirt is coming from. You know, that's all in its own whatever. But the alcohol increases perspiration again, and affects the taste of that sweat and your bodily fluids. Mm-hmm. And depending on the type of drink, the taste could be bitter or sour. And sugary drinks interfere with your taste, but not necessarily sweetly. So, you know, like if a man is drinking, it also depends on what they eat or drink before they go down on you.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's eating something very sugary before they go down on you, within 30 minutes, they say that will also affect the taste.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. So sometimes I just did a stream on my, a video stream on Facebook about sucrates and deep throating.
Okay.
We'll talk about that another time.
I didn't watch that. Okay.
But it's like a cherry flavored lozenge.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to have a cherry flavored lozenge, it would kind of cover up the taste of, you know, the musky or the sweat or whatever, if mm-hmm. you're sucking on somebody. So it would be the same thing for a guy. So that makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want your pussy to taste like fruit, maybe have a bowl of strawberries and pineapple and blueberries by the bed and, mm-hmm. you know, feed it to each other and then have that taste in their mouth before they go down on you, and therefore it can help you feel better about the taste of your pussy. But your pussy is perfect. I'm just can't say it enough.
Well, and there's a lot of concern about that. Like I mean, we've got the guys who don't want to go down on women, the guys who absolutely love eating a woman out, like that is what they crave, want to do, right?
Yes.
And then you've got the women who...
Praise God.
You've got the women who aren't, not they're not comfortable with that, and women who, of course, love it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. So there is it was interesting you mentioned vagina. Well, we, of course, mentioned vaginas, but my mind, when you said vaginas, was like thinking the vagina monologues and how the vagina monologues should be called the vulva monologues.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a story in the vagina monologues about a woman she goes on this date, and the guy basically, he spends like he wants to look at her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very uncomfortable with this, but then I don't remember the exact how the story goes, but basically she allows him to do this, and then she is like all of a sudden is able to get comfortable with it, and he's just like, but I love looking at you. I love looking at your vulva and the vagina, and like he sees it as this, you know, art show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she gets comfortable with that, and how much again she feels excited and to be, and it's a different kind of release for her in comfort in her own body. And he's giving her this gift of being able to see the beauty and the amazement of that. And it's always interesting, like
mm-hmm.
guys who are really into that. And you know, I had a partner one time who just spent a lot of time learning about that part of me, right? And it can be a little bit, ooh, this is, I'm, but once you figure out they are in their happy place, it's much more easy for you to be in your happy place.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's a whole different ballgame.
It's amazing because, you know, I think a lot of guys are actually quite jealous of us women because we can go and go and go. Mm-hmm. And we can continue to play with ourselves after the fact, and we can have multiple orgasms and all that kind of stuff. And most men are like one and done, and then they have to recharge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for women, it's different. So, oh, to be a woman. I hear that. I've heard that from a lover before. Oh, mm-hmm. to be a woman. What it must be nice to be a girl. So, but yeah, let's see. Back to my list here real quick. Tobacco is a big one.
Oh.
Tobacco use can affect the taste. Now, if you've ever kissed somebody that smokes
mm-hmm.
and their mouth tastes like an ashtray,
uh-huh.
even if they've had mints, even if they, you know, you can smell it in their hair, you can smell it on their clothes.
Yes.
It's because it, you know, if alcohol and food can impact how your vagina tastes, it stands to reason that anything else you put in your body, like a tobacco product, would do that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how much it affects your sweat and how potent that perspiration is. That perspiration from smoking, that comes through into your clothing, and that's often why you can smell smoke and smoking and tobacco on somebody, even if they haven't smoked, but it's in their wardrobe because of perspiration.
Right.
It doesn't even come out in the wash sometimes. So it can affect your natural smell and flavor. It can affect your partner in that the smell of the smoke and stuff can get in their nose and create a memory smell that it's an association with your vagina.
Mm.
So if they kiss you and it tastes like a ashtray, or they constantly smelling the smoke and stuff when they go down onto your clit and stuff, it is a natural association that your smell is associated with tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mental thing sometimes with that.
Mm, that makes sense.
But in most cases, it comes down to hygiene. So the vagina is a self-cleaning entity. It's like you leave it alone. It's supposed to care for itself and maintain its own pH balance. It's an amazing organ. You only need to wash the outside with mild soap and water. And if you don't follow regular hygiene stuff and you aren't regularly washing yourself, you may develop an unusual or off-putting smell or taste. I do have a friend who has an occasional partner who has some skin conditions. So she does not shower every day. She showers like every 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gotten to the point where he's like, if we're going to fool around, you've got to go do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't get pissy about it. She's got to understand that, you know, after 3 days, things could start to smell down there and it's not appealing to a partner. So again, it's kind of just understanding that to properly wash and rinse the groin area with warm water, you can use soap if you want. You don't have to. Try not to get it inside your vaginal canal because, again, that's self-cleaning. Spreading the lips of the labia apart and using a washcloth or your hands to clean all the folds and crevices. And you also want to wash around the anus area and between your anus and vaginal opening, because this is a place that if it isn't clean can impact both the odor and taste of your vagina. And there's bacteria that will grow there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And ass licking is becoming a really big trend lately. So rimming and licking assholes is a big deal right now. I don't know where the heck that's coming from, but it's everywhere. Yeah.
Well, and to add a couple pieces to that, if you are noticing a change in your odor, to think about when you changed soap brands, you or your partner, because your soap can have an effect on your pH. I have found that there are particular soaps I can't use. I have found that there are particular soaps partners can't use. It can be even partners that it affects. If they have showered right beforehand and it's a soap that my body apparently doesn't like, it can mess me up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of wild, but it's something to be aware of, because if things are changing, maybe it's not diet. Maybe look at what you're using.
Right.
And I had a really clean soap that I think my body didn't agree with. That was a very like baby gentle soap that I don't think my body liked. And another thing I'll say too is it might be the material of your underwear.
That's true.
Some women cannot wear anything but cotton underwear, that it causes them issues.
And they still make very sexy cotton underwear. You don't have to wear granny panties. You can wear a sexy underwear that's made of cotton. They make them. The different cuts that can make you feel very sexy and be appealing. So don't feel like just because you have to wear cotton that you're relegated to granny panties. That's not necessarily true.
Right. And this is something that this conversation is something that a lot of doctors either don't know or aren't comfortable to have. And I think women need to know that there is, you know, if they're not comfortable with their own smell, that there are things they can try that are totally not, they're not like you're icky, quote unquote.
Right.
It's just, hey, what might be going on, and try a few different things. And of course, there's also, you know, if you're having a yeast infection, like that's something most women know because of just the discomfort.
And the discharge also, and stuff.
And right. And that's also a diet thing too. I mean, some people really need to, if you have a, and I don't know how doctors are with this now, but I had a friend who had a yeast infection that just no matter what the doctor gave her wouldn't go away. And she ended up working with my herbalist. I had an herbalist who basically said, you just have to take sugar out of your diet for a period of time because your body needs to get back set back to normal. And it was her realization when she went through the grocery store of how much everything had sugar in it, but she took it seriously and she got rid of it. So it's, you know, just knowing that, again, there are other solutions if medicine isn't necessarily working. Also antibiotics, if you've taken a lot of antibiotics.
Yeah, it messes up your pH.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So just a thought just came into my brain when you were mentioning the doctor. I wonder how many gynecologists have trained their nose that when they walk into a room that they can like instantly say, oh, that's vaginosis.
Right.
Oh, that's a sexually transmitted disease. Oh, like, oh, that's Summer's Eve disposable douche. You know, like, do they know? As the legs are up in the stirrup and they get hit with a waft, can they identify the different smells? I mean, it probably could. I wouldn't be surprised if there's certain smells that are paired together with certain bacteria because. Bacteria, the smell that we smell is actually the defecate from the bacteria, the living organism.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever the diet is of that particular organism that's feasting on you, it has its own smell. So just remember that, you know, if your partner detects an unpleasant odor and tells you, it's not a criticism of you. It means there's something wrong. And that you need to go see the gynecologist. Don't take it personally. Don't spray rose-scented body spray over it to make it, you know, like it doesn't smell. Don't, you know, just don't do feminine washes and sprays and deodorizers and all that kind of stuff. Go to the doctor, see what's wrong, and then let your body, your internal body, fix itself through if you need to take medication or if there's a suppository or something that you need to use, or maybe you need to eat more yogurt, whatever. It's all a self-contained system. It's almost like a rainforest down there.
Mm-hmm. And those things that people do to cover things up can be the cause of those things.
Right.
So, you know, it can be the cause of why things are off. And I would encourage people, if you do go to the doctor, go do a little web sleuthing. Like, I hate to sort of recommend that because there's a bunch of inaccurate information out there. But if you don't have somebody who really deals with herbs or some sort of somebody who's in touch with the natural things, a lot of times my experience is that the doctors will give you all the medication resources, but they don't necessarily have some of the other things to help you with your diet or to help you walk through something to sort of reset things. So keep looking for answers and resources to help you.
So again, if you're really determined to figure out or make your vagina smell or taste a certain way, don't eat strong foods like asparagus, spicy foods, something that would come out in your sweat or body odor because you've eaten it, you know, that kind of a thing. Skip the booze and the smokes because that comes out in your body odor and sweat too. And they can make you taste more bitter, sour, or metallic. And don't eat or eat something sweet before you go down on somebody. So like now, and remember this too, whatever is in your partner's mouth is going to go on your pussy. It's going to be in your vulva. So if you indulge in some fruit and stuff between the two of you, you're sharing fruit and chocolate or whatever, and you're making that a sensual part of your foreplay, that whatever is in your partner's mouth is going to end up on your vagina. It's going to, and not in your vagina, on your vulva. So that as well will need to be washed afterwards to make sure that it doesn't go up into your vaginal opening and cause some sort of problem. And try not to worry. Try not to worry unless you get a whiff of dead fish or rotting seaweed, you know, from your crotch. Your vagina smells different every day. It smells different times of the day, different times of the month, depending on what you're wearing. And it's all perfect. Your vagina is perfect. Your vulva is perfect.
So now that we've talked to the vagina havers.
Yes.
Let's give some advice to the people who love those vagina havers and might be going down there, whether they're a male, female, or whatever partner. Two questions I have is, what are some ideas of ways somebody can bring up to somebody that there might be a concern that is kind and not, oh my God, you stink, do something about that. And also to remind them, the person who might be going down on somebody, that their hygiene matters, their teeth brushing matters, those kinds of, like you said, be mindful of what you're eating beforehand, but also be mindful of your oral hygiene when you're going down on somebody. But also, yeah, what can somebody say? How can they broach the conversation when they don't want to make the other person self-conscious? Because if you do, then you're making the person with the vagina on edge and very self-conscious and uncomfortable, and right, they're not going to maybe be so easily opening their legs to you futuristically. So sure, we want to keep those doors open. So how do we broach the subject of, oh, I'm a little concerned here?
Okay. So first of all, this is a conversation that you should probably have perhaps in part of your normal everyday activity, not while you're in the bedroom, not when you're ready to go down on somebody. More of one of those fun conversations you can just kind of have when you are just kind of flirting with each other or spooning on the couch or whatever else. Maybe when you're kissing each other, you know, if you recognize a taste in each other's mouth, you can bring up, well, I wonder, you know, how your diet might be affecting the taste of you down there. Or maybe you make comments about, I love the way your pussy tastes. Did you know that a certain time of the day you taste a little more salty? Then, you know, just kind of bringing it up in conversation as a knowing or out of curiosity and playfulness kind of takes the edge off, right? Mm-hmm. Now, for those people who do not have their red wings, and red wings are when a woman has her period and a man or a woman still goes down and has oral sex with her, and therefore their face has little red mustache or whatever, that's called getting your red wings. That's a choice. Sometimes it's known. Sometimes you can actually, your period can come on while somebody's eating you out and you have no idea that it's happening. Again, this is not something to be mortified by or embarrassed by. It happens. Our bodies do things sometimes we can't predict. I would suggest for somebody going down on someone to maybe go down with your hands, your fingers first, perhaps do a little exploring that way, perhaps take a whiff in a very not like put your fingers under your, not like a test, you know, not like a whiff test, but I'm just saying, like, you know, you can bring your hand by your face and you can kind of get the sense of what the smell is and then make the choice of whether you're going to go down that time or not, because you don't always have to do that either. And then you can have a conversation after the sex is over, after you've had a wonderful time, and just be like, hey, you know, when I was fingering you, I sensed a little bit of a different smell to you. Are you feeling okay? You know, are you having any issues down there that, you know, maybe you need to look into? And you can just be concerned. It can just be out of concern and care. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be pointed. And again, not during sex. It's really, really, I can't stress enough.
Talk about a mood killer.
Yeah. And putting somebody on edge and making them feel like they're doing something wrong. And it's just their body. You know, it's not the way it's supposed to go down. So If you have any EQ, any emotional quotient to you at all, you'll have some concern for how what you're saying and what you're doing is impacting your partner. So that would be sort of how I would say that. Another thing to discuss is oftentimes I can tell how good somebody is going to be at eating my pussy by how they kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If they're a real gentle kisser, if you kiss somebody and they have really bad breath, like there could be something bacterial going on in their mouth that you do not want on your pussy.
Right.
And you can oftentimes sense that. So the way that I handle something like that would be that I always keep Listerine on the top of my sink. And I swish with Listerine often to kill germs and to kill bacteria and stuff that, you know, and I think that that's a good practice before you have sex, that you just both swish out with a little Listerine so that you're sure to not be transferring germs to each other. It's a really good practice to just kind of be in, to just sort of do some sort of antiseptic mouthwash before going down on each other.
All these preparations.
Well, and I know, but you know, but a lot of times women will excuse themselves to get ready anyway.
Right. Yeah.
And give themselves a little wash up or whatever. Right. I think men should do that more often. Men should excuse themselves to get washed up and be ready because their stuff is on the outside of their body and has more stink to it and stuff from bodily odors and things. But it's just a consideration. It's about the ritual. It's about preparing for what's coming and putting your mind in the right place and knowing, you know, if you rinse your mouth out with Listerine or some sort of antiseptic because you're going to go down on your girl, that's going to start getting you aroused just while you're rinsing your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a foreplay.
I was going to say that could become a interesting ritual that could be that body's recognition of preparation.
Yeah. So it's all about how we perceive these things. A lot of this has to do with mindset and not taking things so seriously and really allowing things to unfold in a responsible, respectful way of our partners, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I have to say about women. The lady parts. And now I think we're going to do a whole separate one just
yes.
on men. And some of it will be similar, but some of it's a little different. So it'll be interesting to talk about that next.
All right. Well, all right. Let's
sign off.
And we need like a ritual thing to say when we sign off. We need like that ritual release.
Well, it should be kind of like ritual release. That sounds sexy. I mean, like if we ended with sex matters, period, that would probably be if one of us just says, cause sex matters, period, you know, and that's pretty much the end of this podcast. Cause sex matters, period.
Boom.
Done.
Ah, I'm still laughing about chili cook-offs. Talk about something to mess up your pH. That would definitely have some sort of effect. Thank you for listening. Check out the website at sexmatterspodcast.com. You can find Patricia at patriciaengelking.com, and you can find my weekly health and wellness podcast called the Wellness Renaissance Podcast at wellnessrenpodcast.com. And if you happen to have an interest in PTSD, CBD, or THC, that is our last episode. So go and check out that at wellnessrenpodcast.com. We so appreciate your listening, and definitely check out next week when we carry on this conversation for anyone with a penis or those who enjoy penises. See you next week, and hope your week is filled with safe and fun sex.